With WMUK News, I'm Gordon Evans. This weekend, the Michigan Air National Guard Base in Battle Creek holds a ribbon-cutting ceremony for a new cutting-edge mission. The fanfare follows many years of uncertainty as the base gained missions, lost missions, and barely survived a massive downsizing program. Now its future looks more secure. Soon, the Battle Creek Guard will join what's become one of the military's most essential and controversial missions, drone warfare. WMUK correspondent Aaron Sullivan reports.
If you lived in Battle Creek 15 years ago, you probably got used to the sights and sounds of fighter jets in the skies. Back then, the Guard flew 16 flights a day from its base near Kellogg Airport. But now, all the military planes are gone.
Well, this is the hangar that was used for many, many years. But as you can see now, there's not much here. Set up for CrossFit.
Really? Like this is a CrossFit gym?
Yeah, like the CrossFit gym is right over there.
I'm walking around the base with a couple of guardsmen. They asked to keep their names private over fears they or their families could be targeted. One of the guys showing me around, a pilot, points to the tarmac where grass pops through a patchwork of cracks.
We actually just mowed this. We mowed the tarmac. So it's not in use. It's not even certified anymore. We can't bring any planes on it.
Things changed here as the military's needs and priorities evolved. Over 7 decades, the 110th Wing flew bombers, fighter jets, and cargo planes. But by 2013, the last of those planes left the base. Colonel Keir Knapp is the wing's vice commander.
So then the Air Force was looking for a new mission for the base, and one of the biggest growth missions in the Air Force is the intelligence surveillance reconnaissance mission and a place to put MQ-9 Reapers. So back in late 2012, early 2013, it was decided to bring that mission here.
MQ-9s are drones, but the military prefers the term remotely piloted aircraft, or RPA. They are unmanned, armed airplanes that can fly for nearly 20 hours without refueling and provide intelligence, surveillance, and close air support for troops on the ground. They're essentially eyes in the sky. The MQ-9s themselves are not coming to Battle Creek, but crews based here will fly them remotely around the world in places like Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq. The planes have become so ubiquitous in combat and counterterrorism operations that the Air Force now has more drone pilots than traditional ones.
This is the most demanded asset in theater. Everybody wants these things overhead because they are so good at what they do.
This major is one of the new drone pilots in Battle Creek. Before switching to the virtual front lines, he served 12 years active duty in the Marines, flying heavy-lift assault helicopters. He deployed 3 times to war zones and, in between, spent weeks or months away from his wife and 4 kids for training or humanitarian missions.
Marine Corps life was tearing apart my family pretty good, and other Marines can attest to that. So we had to come home to Michigan and get things sorted out, and by all means, my family comes first, so goodbye to the Marine Corps. I'm out.
But it wasn't goodbye military, as it turns out. When Battle Creek got the drone mission, the pilot says joining back up was a no-brainer. He could use his training and combat experience in a new way and stay close to home. But it's a big departure from flight suits and cockpits. Drone pilots can do the job in shorts and flip-flops if they want, while sipping coffee. They fly the planes while sitting in leather chairs in front of keyboards and computer screens, sort of like how you'd play a video game.
When you do put on the headset and you do sit down behind your computer, yes, it is a computer and you are a ways away. But you're immersed in it, you're seeing it on your cameras, your plane is there, you're hearing it in your headset, and you're communicating with guys on the ground.
Pilots work with 2 other crew members who analyze intelligence and run cameras on the aircraft, and those 3 coordinate with many others in the U.S. and in-country to pull off a mission. The pilot calls it a big orchestra of people working to protect troops.
If a target appears that is threatening our guys, or if they get into what we call a tick, which is a troops in contact, which they're firing and being fired upon, then yeah, we'll be called to employ the weapon system in a defense or offense of the scheme maneuver.
There's a lot of appeal to having a direct impact on the immediate fight on the ground.
That's the pilot's right-hand man during missions. He's called the sensor operator. This father of 4 has served 26 years in the Guard, loading cargo planes. He deployed 8 times, 5 to Iraq and Afghanistan. He says working on RPA missions is great at this point in his career. It keeps him close to home and close to the action, even if he's a half a world away.
You know that if you do your job well, there's a significant increase in chance that those folks, young men and women on the ground over there, are going to be able to see another day.
Some traditional pilots and crews, those who've flown inside real aircraft, have resisted switching to drones, but leaders say there are advantages. For one, fewer American troops are put in harm's way. Again, Wing Vice Commander Colonel Keir Knapp.
When I flew my A-10 over Baghdad during, Iraqi freedom, we were getting shot at. One of the pilots from this squadron was shot down over Baghdad. In this airplane, there's nobody in it.
Drone pilots also don't suffer the same physical strains of pulling 6Gs in fighter jets, though many say the emotional toll of combat can be the same in the virtual cockpit as in the real one. Knapp also says with RPAs, the Guard doesn't have to deploy hundreds of people for missions like it did before, and drones can stay in the air much longer than manned aircraft, making intelligence gathering more efficient. But despite the benefits, there's controversy. The biggest concern for many is collateral damage. Mike DeWale is one of the founders of Peace House in Kalamazoo.
Drone warfare is problematic for a number of reasons. One, there are civilian casualties involved, even though government sources will say that civilian casualties are minimized.
The White House has said drone strikes between 2009 and 2015 killed at most 116 non-combatants. But those numbers included deaths only in areas outside of active hostilities, so not in Iraq, Afghanistan, or Syria, where many airstrikes occur. Peace House and others have staged protests outside the Battle Creek base ever since the new RPA program was announced. DeWale says drones make war-making easy, allowing the U.S. to use force in more places, often in secret, and terrorize civilians. He wants the program shut down.
We have people living in Yemen, Afghanistan, Pakistan, places in the Middle East, where they hear the buzzing of drones over their head maybe 24 hours a day, not knowing if one of those drones is going to launch a missile at them.
The pilot in Battle Creek says collateral damage is a reality of war when using manned or unmanned aircraft, though he offers an assurance.
The lengths that we go to do our absolute best that does not happen can even be frustrating for us because the lengths are so great and so in-depth. I mean, that is an absolute priority to make sure that, to the best extent possible, does not happen.
So where are we headed?
So if you just stand right here, this kind of says it all.
Back outside on base, we walk past that huge empty hangar and the wing's main offices, but I'm not allowed to see inside the former warehouse that's being converted into the new drone operations building. They won't even say publicly exactly where it is.
You look back here and a couple of nondescript buildings, right? Pick your most nondescript one and that's probably the one we're operating out of, you know?
They're being secretive for the same reason we couldn't use names in the story. They don't want that information getting into the wrong hands. Officials will say the new $6.5 million building should be operational by February, when guardsmen here will join crews at 11 other U.S. bases who now fly drones in combat and humanitarian missions around the world. For WMUK, I'm Erin Sullivan.